Well, good afternoon. Good morning out on the Pacific Coast. It's 1 o'clock over there on the East Coast for Mr. Danby Cooper, also known as Sutter. Welcome to RealLibertyMedia.com, broadcasting for WorldTruth.org. And today we have a special report. It's the Stuck Truck Edition with Miner Dave. He's live for the Galus Mining District. And Galus is still regarded as being a ways out there. So come on for a visit. That's the Galus Mining District, G-A-L-I-C-E, Indian Mining. You can do that search, or you can find it in these links and publications. So if you're catching this downstream there on, it's gone up, uploaded to YouTube, hey, come on back over here to RealLibertyMedia.com. Join the chat room. You're going to find that you can engage in some good, intelligent discussion right there. Good folks, a great team going on here between WorldTruth.org and RealLibertyMedia.com. Also, a big shout-out over to UCY.TV. If any of our resident chatters has joined us over here at Real Liberty Media, welcome. And a big shout-out to Jules that provides that. There's a great resource right there. I'm telling you, folks, UCY.TV, check them out. And so, as we come along, I'd like to invite you to come along the journey and explore more. And with that, I'm going to hand you the mic, Miner Dave. Like I said,
Troy,
free air time. I'm going to interrupt you in a minute just to do a little sound check. So, anyways, there you go, Dave. Thanks for taking the time to join us today.
So last week we were interrupted when I was going to talk on my case, which I'll touch in a minute. Last night I got my truck stuck on my mining claim, so I can't make it to the hearing today for an injunction on Galus. And what we're doing there is basically the permit scheme that the state came up with. It's based on a 404 Army Corps of Engineers, discharge, like your sewer plant, or you're putting things in the water. We're not putting anything in the water. We're taking things out of the water. When you use an underwater suction device, they like to call them dredge, but a dredge is a big ship or a boat. You can go down on the Umpqua River at the coast, and you can see them digging out there so shipping can get through into the ports. That's where they need a dredge permit for that. It's for cleaning harbors. And it's for sewer plants or discharge places where you have livestock with a bunch of, waste. You're discharging and it's leaking into the water. You're supposed to mitigate that. Miners don't do that. Even if you do a suction dredge, even if you do a settling pond, that's just for particulates. It's not adding or taking anything out of the water. It's taking out of the water, and then you're just putting the gravels back in, which is good for fish because it gives them some place to lay their eggs. So, the Army Corps of Engineers has many times told many states, suction dredging doesn't qualify for a 404 permit. And they testified this in court in other cases. So today, the Galus Mining District, and I think it's 13 defendants, I'm not one of them. I am a Galus member, but I didn't join the group until after they had finalized their suit and got their hearing, so I couldn't become a plaintiff. So there we go. On that, and Magistrate Clark will be hearing that at 1:30, which I'm going to miss because it's a small room, and after this show, even if I could get there, I probably wouldn't get in. So I will chat with the other guys when I can get a hold of them, and see about shooting a video and talking to them about their experiences in the hearing. So I'm not going to have much on that. So now I'm going to go with what I was going to tell you last week. I found a hotline number for the Office of Inspector General for the Department of Interior. They investigate waste, abuse, and fraud in government agencies. And I pointed out a fraud that's been going on since 1946, since their existence. Under the mining law, it's actually the covenants of agreement. And grants can be written either by agreement or by an act of law. Congress used acts of law for the covenants of agreement. But it's to fulfill those requirements that are in the grant, for like the grantee, that would be me and my lien claim, is real property or real estate, and personal private property. It's a distinction between your normal house in your in town somewhere. There you just own real property versus personal property. And under seizure laws, they can take that from you. They're not allowed to take personal private property from you. That's why the mining estate, as they call it, the mining estate is the dominant estate. It's dominant over any other estate. And out here, when I'm out in Applegate, at the Applegate store, by the way, they have a very good food here. That's just my little plug for where I'm sitting at. But anyway, so they have a restaurant and cafe. But anyways, so what we have here is most of the property out here that was not much. I mean, there's some of it that's agriculture, but it was probably originally issued as a placer claim next to the river. And after they were done mining it, they turned it into a ranch or a vineyard. Well, they don't understand. If they can stop me on my mining claim, even though it's unpatented yet, it's got potential for being patented, who's to say that they couldn't come in and say, you can't grow grapes, or you can't do this? And then if you want to look at another trust, it's not my trust, I'm not a grantee of it, is, but LaVoy is, the Bunkers are, the Bundys are. Ranchers like that I've known most of my life. They have an estate, and it's managed by the BLM. Now, it used to be managed by a different agency. That agency was put in mothballs, just like the mining estate. And they put it in exclusive jurisdiction wherever they lie, within the grazing lands or the mining lands of a given area, that they have management over it. Well, the Forest Service doesn't have jurisdiction in those two issues. None whatsoever, because they weren't created to do that. They were created to make a reserve, which is really, truly unlawful. But that's another story for another day on how the Teddy Roosevelt started the Forest Service. He did it just keep people, so they could get a little regulation in on some of the abuses at the time. He's one of the founders of the Sierra Club, so he was a member of the Sierra Club, and he wasn't a constitutionalist, he was a progressive. So we got the Forest Service thanks to Teddy Roosevelt, may he rot in his grave. Anyways, that's my daily look about the Forest Service. It's a criminal organization, and they go around. Now, the guy that I'm dealing with now is actually, his name is Robert Shoemaker. He didn't do this to me. He replaced Carla Baragos, which was the Minerals Administrative before him. She retired. She told me I would never get an approved plan, and I said, well, they don't require one, you don't have the authority to approve one or not approve one. Only the Department of Interior, the UN, does. If I need to do one, they're telling me I don't need to do one. Because, see, the Forest Service doesn't have a form for you to fill out with an OMB number. That's a number that if it's government paperwork and it has an OMB number, then you're required to fill it out. If they want you to fill one out and it's not required and they don't have an OMB number, they got to pay me for the time it takes to deal with it. Well, they'd owe me about $5.5 million if that was the case, which they're never going to give me, not without a suit. So as I was talking to the Inspector General, she was saying we didn't have any jurisdiction over the Forest Service. I said, no, you don't have a trustee. And I said, even in your rules, in the rules of the Forest Service, they've exempted this trust or this grant. Because it was written in a simple term, it was written as these regulations and rules do not change the general mining law of 1872 in any shape, form, or whatever. But that means that's your permit. The 1872 mining law, which was had two of them before that, 1866 for the hard rock and 1870 for the plaster. And in 1872, they merged the two into one law, and then they added a bunch of minerals to them they call valuable deposits. That could be a plaster, that could be a hard rock, could be in many different forms. It could even be pocket. It could be a pocket deposit. And that's not uncommon in Jacksonville, where people will be plowing in the road and they hit a pocket of gold, and that's called pocket mining. There's a lot of those guys. It takes them a long time because they have to lay it out in a grid. Then you've got, like, the hard rock guys. They come in and they drill. Well, and then plaster, they wash. Another thing to call an underwater suction device would be a wash plant. And wash plants come in very many different sizes and shapes and forms. There's many, you know, you got a wash machine to wash clothes. That's a wash plant. By the way, that has discharge because you're washing your clothes. But a miner that goes in the creek and sucks whatever's in the creek and just basically filters it, sifts it, he's not adding or he's only taking away. He's not adding anything to the water. So it's not a problem. And the Corps of Engineers say this. So you got all these different state and federal agencies attacking a profession, a way of life, whether it be a rancher or even a robber. Hey, I haven't even covered the robber's trust. Here, that's called ONC lands, and that stands for Oregon, Nevada, or whatever. Anyways, they're lands that have railroad lands. They were granted during the time of the railroad expansion, and the railroad developed lots of places, but lots of places they didn't develop because they weren't suited for a railroad. And they went back to the federal government, decided to take them back because they weren't doing what they call if you get a grant, and they have specific criteria that you have to do to keep that land and keep it in private hands. When you have to fulfill those, or the government can take it back because you didn't fulfill the terms of the trust. But this is where trust comes in. It's where if you as an individual had a piece of property, you had a thing, because that's what property is a thing. But if you have a thing and you want to give it, you want to leave it to your heirs, or you want to sell it, or whatever, you can do that. It transfers over, and it's considered real property in any state of the line is a mineral estate. Then you got, and then like with the robbers, ONC lands, they're not doing the sustainable cut. The government's in breach of that grant. By the way, they don't have a trustee for it either. And what I mean is they have a general trustee. That's the agency. They're supposed to have a named individual that's responsible for fulfilling the duties, not their job. I don't care what their job is. What is their duties? Their duties are, the first duty of any trustee is to the grantee. By saying to the grantee, well, you fulfilled all your requirements, but we're not going to let you do this. Well, that means they gave you something, and now they're taking the right back. And government doesn't have the right to do that because our foundation, when we left Britain, is that we don't honor all contracts, which a grant is a contract, that we got all grants that the king had given up before they were giving it up. It was a part of the treaty. It's written to honor all grants. And that included the Spanish grants, the English grants of land. Because back then, remember, when the king came in and conquered the place, whether it be the Spaniards, or if it was the King of England or the King of France or whoever, whatever monarch decided to do an invasion, then they would take over an area, and then the lands became the king's to decide how to dispose. And so, in order to keep loyalty, he passed out lands. Like Virginia, it was one of the biggest land grants to a given area on the planet. When it was given as a state for the king, giving them jurisdiction over the land to develop it. Well, when we had a Revolutionary War, those people that had gotten that state to adopt that grant, when the Revolutionary War, they had a problem because there was very little money in the federal government. So the state signed over all of the lands that were outside their proper, but they had rights to, that would have taken up the rest of the nation. There were seven states. So these seven states gave away their holdover to the United States government so they could dispose of it. Well, they disposed of everything east of the Mississippi. They haven't done it out here in the West. And as if you read the Constitution, yeah, there can be forts and armies and all that, and, you know, the only place that really the federal government really has any jurisdiction is in Washington, D.C. But they've been stealing jurisdiction by lawyers. And that's another subject I like to talk about. If you're an officer of the court and you pass the bar, and if you're an officer of the court, how can you hold an elected position in Congress or a state representative in the state house or even a senator or even the president of the United States without first surrendering your law license and resigning as an officer of the court? Which is where we the people are falling down on the job by not insisting them to resign from one office to another, meaning that, you know, everybody knows that if you're a senator and you get elected president, you resign the Senate. But nobody's ever thought about the judicial system. The judicial system is a separate branch of government. And so what we need is if you decide that you're going to run for political office, you need to resign the bar. You need to resign the bar and give up your office of the court as being a bar member. So this is where we got diluted in what people's rights really are, because you got a lawyer been a lawyer, then he decides to run for political office, and he doesn't resign the bar and doesn't and then he's in the writing laws, and then it becomes more about power and jurisdiction and fiefdoms and oligarchies, and then eventually, because an oligarchy can't work, because at some point you get enough people, a few people at the top that control everything, well then, from there, they're always in an argument and disputes because they can't get any bigger without taking one of their own out. And that's what we got right now. That's exactly what we got. Is we the people are stuck in the middle. We got political factions in this country that want us divided. They want to balkanize us. They want you to hate a black man. They want the black man to hate the white man. They want the Mexican to hate the black guy because it's competition for their work. See, this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be reunited. I don't care what race you are. I happen to be 97% white. Nobody's truly 100% of anything, because you can't be. It would be impossible. And right now we have government by government committing anarchy. And I don't mean like a lot of people think anarchy means. Anarchy means that you're causing an upheaval within the society to destroy it, to rebuild it. So you remember, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. Well,
hey, Dave.
Lavera was one of the eggs.
Hey, Dave, yes. Man. It's me, man. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I'm here.
We interrupt Speck in the Truck special report from Minor. Hey, out at the Galise Mining District with the 420 report from the Buzz Beaver. Today's message is, and thanks to Cirque and Flash for the inspiration to muse for the following. You can't play tennis on a basketball court. But that politicians as judges setting policy, as our police there to enforce this policy. This occupation that is that silent war against us, where our silence is our consent. Thank you, Hal Anthony. And this message has been brought to you by the Buzz Beaver, reminding you that cannabis can. Thank you, Dave. Back to you.
Did you, I had set the phone down. Were you speaking to me? Hello?
Yeah, that was all you, and we are back. Yes, that was a little trip down.
Okay, I had to take care of something. Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Anyway, so what we got here is we got two chests that I found. There's probably more because one person can only do so much. We got the ranching trust. We got the that's for the grazing lands. Now their terms and agreements are different than the mining because see they're grazing land, and this is where the 14-day camping rule comes in. Where they decided that applies to people where it's not supposed to. That was for cattle. You would have your cattle in a specific place. And so it wouldn't be overgrazed, you would move them in 14 days. Well, now they're taking what's meant for cattle, and they're treating people as cattle, and they're moving them along every 14 days. I don't care if you're in the city, if you're out here in the rural. Out here it's the Forest Service or the BLM that says, well, you can't be here, you got to leave. Well, the reason why, if they can kick everybody off the land, they can close it all off, who do you think's going to be mining it? If you can get me off my claim, or you can get any other miner off their claim, where they give them up, Barack Obama will use it to give to whoever he is his favorite, or whoever in government wants, they claim it's for environmental reasons. Well, how do you think the Chinese are going to mine when they come in here under an international agreement and they say, well, we want to mine this or we want to mine that? And, China wants Iowa for payment of the debt to go to them. They want a whole state, and they want to kick everybody out. So, hey, I hope in Iowa the Chinese don't come to you near soon because, see, most of you guys' property is in private hands. You don't understand. If the United States government says the state of Iowa is now China, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do when they come knocking on your door and they say, you know, we decided you don't own this house anymore. Get out. Oh, and you got 10 days to burn it up, to have it all off the land. That means the building, everything. You got to remove everything, take it all down, and we'll let you come back. You can come and visit your property. You can, but you can't do anything. Where did you haul in one day? You have to haul it out that same day. How would you like it if somebody came in your garage and says, well, you know, we don't like your garage, so you have to tear it down. Well, if it's attached to your house, well, then you'll have to get a $25,000 permit that we're ordering you to tear down your garage. I mean, come on. When are you going to be the steward of the land? See, the Constitution was for us to be stewards. And part of this is stewardship of the land. Part of it's stewardship of the republic. I try to explain what a republic is in a republic form of government. Is where the common average guy, which, by the way, there isn't one, but, I mean, if you want to use that language, we need to be able to lay our grievances on the table and have them heard. And I was always taught you did that if you're county commissioner. We call them county commissioners. Some states call them supervisors. Some counties in Oregon call them judges. They're not judges like in the court. But that's what they call them. And so you have three possible names of a body of three. It could be more than three, but mostly in Oregon, there are three commissioners here, except for nine counties where they call them judges. And they're called judges, but they're not legal. They don't have, they're not lawyers. They're not judges like you're sitting in a traffic court or a criminal court. That's just what they call them because they have all, these three people have the legislative part of the county ordinances, they have the administrative part of the county ordinances, and then they have zoning committees and library districts and all kinds of government. You see, a library could be a government, and I don't mean a taxing authority, I mean a government where they could coordinate, like, the library system, and the two library systems here that are always begging for money here, they could be a government. There's a library district. A lot of them are set up for taxing districts, but they don't have to be set up that way. They could be set up to get OMC lands, and they could sue a library system here, could sue the BLM and the Forest Service for not doing sustainable cuts. It's just you can't get the library board to understand that's They have the power to coordinate over a tree cut. You can see that's where they used to get their money from in my here. You know, over in the East Coast, there's not much full service to do except, well, I guess they got a nice building in Washington, D.C. You know, maybe they have buildings around the different places. But, you know, and then maybe they have small lands they've purchased to manage. But they're a land management agency. If I was to own property and I want to rent it out, I would hire a land management. Well, say I had a son and I put the son in one of the units and I told the land management, don't worry about the rent from him. And then you go on vacation, you come to find out the land manager has put your son in jail for not paying because he wasn't supposed to be there. And they were acting like the property was theirs, and they're telling you, you can't have your son there, and they have to pay rent or whatever. They don't understand. The land manager doesn't necessarily own the property. And by the way, I call it property. All lands are property, or all lands are real estate. It's just whether it's personal private real estate, well, if it's government-owned real estate in a trust that they're supposed to follow and dispose of the lands. Now, the mineral estate has been disposed. It's been disposed to the United States citizen held in trust. But right now, it's supposed to be the BLM. But they don't have a specific named individual. Like, every trust is supposed to when there's determinations that have to be made. Like my grant that I got what they call an unpatented claim. That means I have assessment work and I have things to do to keep it every year that have to be performed or you lose the claim. And this is where it would fall back to the government for either another miner to come in and file on or whatever. There's no provisions to put a moratorium on mining. They've gotten it done because there isn't a specific name trustee that can come in and say, hold on a second, you have no authority. You're under arrest. Go over there and sit in that corner. And I don't mean by...
Uh-oh. We lost Dave. Did he fall off the call? All right, well, that's all right. He fell off altogether. We'll just wait for her to come back. Not a problem. So, let me clip my mic back here, and I'll take over here for a second. The Three Little Pigs. Okay. Once upon a time, there was three little pigs, and they came, and they kicked. They kicked the door in and shot up everybody in the house because somebody called and said, I heard screaming and I think they're doing drugs. And, yeah, Grammy Mary was talking about the cops showing up. Somebody had the Walking Dead on just a little bit too loud. But are we not zombies?
We're not the Z Nation. walking around corpses. Yeah, well, that's how we're treated by this establishment of illegal or legal, whatever they want to call themselves, this legalese. And tomorrow, Ann's going to come back in. All right, well, hold on there.
Absolutely, it can apply to you because you don't know how much you're going to get. There's no way to compute that. You know, until it's actually out of the ground. So now, I get the producer just asking me questions like, well, what kind of minerals am I going to be mining, and what quantities, and what production rates? I don't know any of that, and it would be a fraud for me to say. And secondly, depending on some metals, it might be illegal for me to say how much I'm doing at this agency. They'd be the wrong agency to tell that, because there's a lot of minerals that are national security minerals. They're used for making, you know, making weapons of war, or, well, hell, your computer. A computer, the gold in your computer that you got in your computer wouldn't run without it. And now, so that makes it gold a strategic and military mineral. By the way, most all minerals are going to be that way, because right now we might not know what to do with a certain mineral, but who's to say some smart guy that doesn't come by and thinks of a new use for a particular metal? You know, like your cell phone's got copper and it's got gold in it, and now usually they're just using it on the connection so that it doesn't corrode and oxidize, because gold doesn't oxidize like, say, copper does. Copper will turn green when it's come in contact with oxygen, and it can get so green it turns black. And then when you hit it with carbon dioxide, it turns almost a yellow red. So it depends on what you're going to use it for. Silver oxidizes. It can turn stuff blue. It can get depending on what other minerals are in the ground, or it can get so oxidized it turns black. And then of course magnesium is always black if it's oxidized. So different colors mean different things in different conditions of what the mineral is in. Gold doesn't oxidize, and it doesn't change color. It's the only mineral that doesn't. And it's also a superconductor metal, where they're finding other minerals that are going to be used in making superconductors, and some of them are just the way they make the chip. It's the kind of sand they use, you know, the crystal quartz rocks that they can crush up and they can make into a computer chip. So if you want to have a modern society, we have to have mining, because it's the miners that settled everything. What's in the Applegate? They wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the miners, because the miners came in and they mined. They got gold. Well, in 1862 here, it cost you $12 for a dozen eggs, because it cost you one silver dollar for one egg. And they sold them by the egg back then. Well, you could buy a dozen of them, but you have to pay $12 for 1 ounce of gold. So, you know, eggs are still cheap now. You can get a dozen eggs for $3. How'd you like to pay 12? Well, at some point in time, you might have to, because, see, there's going to be lots of food in this country. Who's going to be able to afford to buy it? So, if you don't have the rancher raising the beef, the miner doesn't get to eat. If the miner doesn't get to eat, he doesn't get to dig the gold out of the ground to give to the rancher for that steak dinner. So I don't understand where they think that they can stop mining and they can get all this government welfare. How long do they think that baby train's going to last? A man that takes a gift and doesn't work for it, because I'm referring to the mining grant as a gift, and doesn't get, be able to work it or use it, then what good is the gift? If you turn around and say, we're just going on welfare. Well, a man doesn't have any self-satisfaction even if he's not making very much, if he's working and doing something and trying to be productive, then he'll be, he can, even though he might not have much, he can be a happy man because he's getting along and he's being productive. But see, right now the government doesn't want people to be productive. Out here in the West, I think they want us all to move to the East Coast. You think how proud it would get then if the whole West Coast had to migrate back to New York City? By the way, I wouldn't go there. not everybody can live in a city. Not everybody wants to live in a city. Why are they forcing all these people to do things they're not wanting to do when it's not necessary? So this is why the Grease Mining District is suing the state of Oregon for an injunction. They're not suing for money. They're suing for a law not to, to be thrown out, federal preemption because of the grant. And so this leads me back to Summer Crawley, the assistant inspector, we call assistant investigator for the Department of Interior. So when I first got in contact with her, she sent me an email saying that she got the numbers I left on her voicemail. She got those rules, and she could see that I was right about the rules in both places, but that she couldn't give me advice, and she invited me to file a takings, seek legal counsel and file a takings. So I wrote her back on the email that I wasn't asking. I knew I had a takings. That's not what my question is. My question is where the trustee is. Well, they confirmed there is no trustee. So now that they confirmed that, that means they've opened up an investigation. It's against the BLM. Why isn't there a trustee? And so now, the Inspector General can't appoint one. But since they don't have one, they can force the Inspector General, Secretary of Interior, to sit down with the Grease Mining District because of government-to-government coordination, and they can sit the county. This is the hot one. When I went in to talk about my government-to-government coordination with the Inspector General's office, they were doing one with these other agencies. So I got them. I don't know if they've contacted them. I haven't gotten any response back yet. But the county, since they were writing a government-to-government coordination to discuss FLTMA, which is the Federal Land Policy Management Act of the land they manage, they can't do anything until they actually sit down and have government-to-government coordination, and the county has to agree to it. If they don't agree to it, it can't happen because it's local control. The feds can't do anything unless you get your county sheriff to agree to it. So LaVoy died because the county sheriff was negligent in his fiduciary duty to the people that elected him. He went along with the feds. Now, because if we get back to that trust, the grazing trust, since there's no trustee in there and they have to appoint one, once they do that and they conduct an audit of accountability, and when they conduct that, and they find that the Forest Service has lack of jurisdiction to do what they did to him, and there's Hammonds will be in jail, you'll be seeing them get out real soon once they appoint the trustee to that, if you can get the ranchers to demand their trustee, because then it forces an audit of accountability. And since a BLM guy started all this, it's called conspiracy to commit murder, and the feds have jurisdiction over federal employees by their actions causing the death of somebody, even if it's negligence, it's life imprisonment. Because it's a violation of their civil rights, but not only their civil rights and the civil rights laws, it's under the property rights, under the takings, and then it's a breach of the government's fiduciary duty. And the left hand doesn't need to know what the right hand is doing. So what we got is we got the governor of the state of Oregon demanding they do something on the refuge. Well, that means she can be charged along with that federal employee that set up those roadblocks. Those state police guys, not only could they be charged federally, they could be charged state. We could get a special prosecutor. If we got these special prosecutors, there'd be federal employees and state employees spending the rest of their life in jail for the death of Roy. And I didn't, Roy was my friend on Facebook. I didn't know him personally. I knew his work. He was very articulate, a very smart man. He knew what he was doing. And the reason why he had to die is because he was the most dangerous person in that whole group. Because he was, he had such a gentle voice, but a firm one, that he could get his point across. And they were on their way to an adjacent county to a community meeting that was a meeting about explaining rights when they killed him. He had immunity to go to that. They didn't have the right to stop him, because if you're going to what they call a political event, they don't have you have immunity to go to that. It's like if you get a summons to go to court, and you tell the officer, I have a summons to go to court, he can't arrest you. He's got to let you proceed to court. He's got to let you proceed home, even if there's a warrant on your back. I've seen guys when they got in there and they got their attorney, they were out in 5 minutes and they won everything. The warrant went away. The original charges that they were charging them with them went away, because see, law enforcement has to have a higher standard, not a lower standard. That means they're required to de-escalate. That FBI agent in charge, he did not do that. If you look at here in Oregon, or I don't know about anywhere else, but here in Oregon, that is illegal. That roadblock is a crime, because they were doing that kind of stuff back in the 80s when the Oregon Supreme Court said you can't have roadblocks, not for sobriety checks. Not even if you know it's an escaped prisoner. You can't set up roadblocks. You can't go house to house searching for a fugitive. It's illegal in this state. And I know several officers that lost their police certification because they broke the law. Remember, the law applies to them more than it applies to you, because they work for the government. The rules and regulations, they apply to the employee. They don't apply to me. The Federal Land Policy and Management Act doesn't apply to me. It applies to the Forest Service employees. It applies to the BLM employees. Because, see, the only way you can have the feds have jurisdiction over you is to give it to them. If you don't give it to them, they don't have jurisdiction over you. And you get arbitrary decisions from a court that isn't a court. There's two kinds of court. There's the court of equity, and then there's the court of rights. We're being denied the court of rights. The Bundys, I doubt that they were tried with an Article III judge. I bet you they were tried with an Article IV judge, administrative court, and that's a court of equity. What's fair, not what's right. And so, if you want to demand your rights, you're going to be demanding an Article III court. You know, supposedly, I was convinced on my first trial that I was being tried by an Article III judge. Well, he had been one, but he retired. And when he retired, when they retire, they still hear cases. Why are they still hearing cases? Why don't they appoint a new Article III judge? When you step down and you're not hearing as many cases either, like Judge Painter here, he's 84 years old, and he's still hearing cases. And he makes so many mistakes that the Ninth Circuit, the dumbest circuit in the United States, the dumbest, would chastise him, like on my case. My attorney files appeal. He denies it was prejudiced, right? And he signs the wrong case. And somebody put some paperwork in front of him. He signed it. He didn't even read it. He doesn't read anything. So Judge Painter is incompetent. And it could be physical, it could be mental, it could be his age, or it could be he never knew the money laws. He's incompetent. And they're treating us like we're criminals, and all we're trying to do is defend our property rights. When I was in jail in Jackson County over my charges, I was in there on a misdemeanor charge. I got 30 days in jail. I was held on a federal felony hold. In the jail I was in, they said I've never been there. They're saying that I was not in that jail, except that Mr. Fong did a press release that that was where I was at. So, yeah, Sheriff Winters, you're a liar. And Sheriff, now he's not sheriff anymore because he got unelected. Because we had, when I was in there, we had an escape by a bank robber. And he was in 23-hour lockdown. And they would take him out, and they'd take him up to this third floor thing where they took you where it was kind of open to the outside. But it was a steel cage over the top, and all he would have, if he could have gotten up there, is get on the roof. So the guy got two guys to lift him up there. He cut the bars out what they said was some kind of bolt cutter. Well, bolt cutters wouldn't have cut number 10 steel. But the reason I know that is I've cut lots of number 10 steel. You would use ratchet cutters. Well, I don't know how ratchet cutters would have gotten into the jail without anybody noticing it, unless it came in an officer's lunchbox, because I don't think you could hide a pair of those very well. They're not very small. So he escaped, got on the roof, jumped over to a tree, slid down a tree, and the Mosos caught him a year later than Portland somewhere, held up. By the way, the Marshals always get their men, mostly. So I got respect for the Marshals. But that bank robber got out before I did. He did it unlawfully. And then I was the officers wouldn't believe that I was just in there as a misdemeanor because the FBI, the Marshals and the judge didn't give them my records while I was in jail, what I was convicted of. And so when I got my attorney to send to the lieutenant, that the sheriff, so they could look at my file to see that I'm in there on a misdemeanor and being held in a federal felony hold, and I've never been charged federally ever with a federal felony. So they did that because they had to counter a different order on who they release. All non-violent offenders get first release. And then it steps up to who they need to hold the most. Well, they let a wife beater out. That's what the deputy said. He didn't tell me who it was. He said, you know, we could let you out. And there's three or four guys that were wife beaters that we had to let them out because we didn't have any more room in the jail. We had to keep you over them. I never seen such a mad cop in my life, what they were doing to me. And so not all police are bad. Because I respect that guy, because he looked at it as totally being ridiculous, but he couldn't do anything about it. He's just a guard. He wasn't even, you know, he wasn't in management. He couldn't even go. He couldn't even do anything about it. He had no power, because here we have the great old thing of crony capitalism. If you're not part of the Thousand Friends of Oregon, or an agency that's probably on its way, not an agency, a dot org that's probably on its way. It was how the crony capitalists, by the way, this is Republican country where I'm at. It's the one few places in Oregon that isn't, communist or socialist or however you want to define it. So we have crony capitalism here. We have some of the strictest land use laws that they place on people, and they're always winning to tie them down. They now want to take and make, if you got, say, from the dam, River Dam, it's called Ross Creek, and you go all the way down down to Tugro, or whatever, or how far, I have to look at the map again. They want to make it a wilderness area. And, of course, you know, that's all private property. Most all of it. There's very few of it, there is government land in there. But they want to restrict the people's right to do it, paint your house, build a carport. If you're going to paint your house, it has to be painted a certain color. And it takes you 8 or 9 months to get the permit to paint your house. Because you have to ask, Mother, may I, can I paint my house? Would you like to do that? I mean, do they do that in Tennessee? Or, or do they do that in Texas? Or do they just let you paint your house? You know, you need a permit here to do everything. And there isn't a job here that doesn't require, that's gold mining that I can find, that require a license not only by the contractor, to have a contractor's license, but his employees all have to be, have their own licenses for their particular job. If you're an electrician, you need an electrician license. It's a state issued license. And then they got several different kinds of electrical license. They got low voltage, like for alarms and simple sensors and things that you have in your heater. So that if you're putting in a heater and maybe you're putting in a gas heater, you got to make an electrical connection to make all the stuff work in it. Well, you have to have a license for that, and you have to have two different kinds. And then that's for the worker, and then you have to, if you're going to be a supervisor, you need a supervisor license. And then if you're going to be a step above that and be a superintendent, of like a construction job, you need about a zillion different licenses. Why? I don't understand why. Why do you need all these licenses to go out and make a living? Well, because Oregon's the first socialist state in the United States of communism or socialism, and it's because there's people here that don't like you, that think you're scum, and they want you to really move along, but they can't really force you to because I've actually seen it. I've seen the Medford police 30 years ago. They would take homeless people and put them on a bus and send them to a different state. The states found out about the feds put a stop to it. And they were using federal money to do it with. They lost that money over that. That was 30 years ago. So we have a system here where there is no freedom. There is none. You think you own your house there and somebody in east side of Medford? Well, wait till one day they say, well, you no longer own this. And they put a Chinese family in your house, or they put somebody else because the government, everybody's been on the gravy train getting all these freebies, and nobody has to work. For how long is it before they run out of money? Even you can only print so much by the Fed. That can only last so long until nobody accepts your paper. So this is where I stand. I stand for people that love the outdoors, that like working in the outdoors. I stand for loggers. I stand for farmers. I stand for ranchers. I stand for miners. I stand for the guy that just owns a house in town. Because see, if they can take my rights away, a government has the power enough to give you everything. Has the power to take everything from you. We fought Britain for a lot less. My namesake, Private David Evers, fought in the Battle of Trenton and Princeton. I don't think he would. I think he'd be out there shooting at him right now. Except I'm more civil. I don't want to shoot. I'd rather use a pen. But the murder of LeRoy, it's like Bunker Hill all over again. Somebody asked a local radio show here, guy here, asking, you're saying Bunker Hill is wrong. In 1775. He goes, of course not. The British were coming for the firearms. He goes, well, they're coming for yours. and then this guy, I'm not going to give his name, but this out of Portland, this local radio, he's out of Portland, but they consider that local there because he's on our local radio show during noon to 3 or whatever. But anyways, He was saying that he didn't believe it was time to have that kind of revolution. And he said, well, this guy on the radio explains to him, he said, so you think LeRoy was trying to commit suicide, right? He goes, yeah. Well, did you know you're on? He goes, yes, I'm on. Did you know that if we made a rule that says you had to, if they made a rule that you weren't, and then you didn't comply with, you're saying in 3 weeks the FBI can come and shoot you because you're armed and they're afraid of you because you're armed? And he goes, well, of course not. Think of that's what they did here. The guy had his this guy really had his arms in the air up There was no reason to shoot him whatsoever. Anybody that says that was a justified suit is evil, because it was not. There were so many things wrong with that, LaVoy's death, that makes me want to puke. Those officers thought they were justified in shooting an unarmed man and then pulling a gun on him. By the way, they've already backed off on that, because it turns out that gun was tracked back to being in the state thing. But it's been shown as being in the state custody here. So the firearm they tried to blame on him, he had been in state custody, and they can't figure out how it got there, because it was supposed to be in lockup for some other case. So it looks like we have officers stealing firearms that they've confiscated. So why isn't he under arrest for theft of a firearm? Well, that'll never happen, because the governor wanted LaVoy dead. I'm sure that she didn't know that she wanted him dead, because what did she think the FBI was going to do? And when she said, send somebody in there and take him out, well, that's permission from the governor to the FBI and those local state officers to shot him. They thought they were being justified because they had they'll get him, right? Well, that sounds like an order to the state police. These guys are so well trained, they actually went out and followed that stupid illegal order. They should have, it was they need to de-escalate, not escalate. What I think we need is we need a million people to go march on the Capitol and swarm the Met House. But I don't know if we can get a million people, because who's going to care about some bird state out in the middle of nowhere that has no electoral votes? We got one congressman that actually is trying to do something, Greg Gordon. He's been having me out immensely, and they're listening to me. But he's only one congressman. One congressman doesn't mean nothing. Ask the Hague. The second wife of Mr. Hague was a congresswoman. Well, you know, she died at a young age because the Forest Service hounded the ranch. He said the ranchers. Why is the government thinking that they know best what's in from Washington, D.C., how for me to live?